the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up on this week's podcast, we'll hear from the programme director at Greatest Hits Radio, Andy Ashton, about his new big name presenter signings this week and about how the first year of the station has gone. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, it's 25 years on from the launch of the original talk radio, 6 years since LBC went national, plus some treats in the form of very old audio from 2MT in Essex and also the closure of pirate station Radio City in the late 60s.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassoid.
But first, Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, is here. Nice to see you again, Roy.
Lovely to see you. You're looking good. Have you done something different with your hair this week?
It needs a cut, actually. It's almost a centimetre long now.
Yeah, cut that hair. Thank you. Just that one.
Hey, some breaking news as we record. There's a new chief executive for Ofcom to replace Sharon White. It's another former civil servant. She's called Melanie Dawes.
Melanie Dawes?
Yep.
Not Marjorie.
No. That's Melanie. That's a fictitious character.
All right.
She's got lots of experience, been in the civil service for 30 years, and she will take over from Sharon White, who left a few months ago, but I don't think she's starting straight away. So it's all change, and it's even more change because Ofcom have said they're going to have a new chair as well by the end of the year. We're obviously getting a new BBC Director General. The advert's gone out for that last week. And maybe a new Culture Secretary too soon as well to replace Nicky Morgan. So big changes in regulation of radio are on the way.
That does remind me, I do need a new chair because this one is just not very comfy. There's other changes as well, isn't there? Andy Carter, our old mate.
Well, we were hoping to get him on the podcast this week, but maybe next week. Time has just eluded us this week. But yeah, Andy Carter, who's now an MP, used to be the group MD at GMG Radio, is now MP for Warrington South, appointed this week as the chair of the all-party parliamentary group on commercial radio, which is basically a group of MPs and peers who put together reports and recommendations and do some lobbying on behalf of commercial radio to the government as well. So Andy will hopefully better tell us all about his new role when we get him on at some point in the next couple of weeks.
Fantastic, and congratulations, Andy.
And one of the things we were going to talk to him about were all the regulatory changes in radio over the last couple of years, really. And it's all going to finally come to a head, possibly next month. We're still waiting for a final decision from the CMA, the Competition and Markets Authority, about Bowers purchases. But we learned this week that they're now not going to have to sell Wolverhampton. What? Keep changing their minds on this.
Yeah, originally they had to sell loads of stations. Well, I say loads, quite a few. And now they don't have to sell any. And I'm pretty sure that the first radio sales issue will sort itself out. And everybody will be happy. And then the big question on everybody's lips is, one, what's going to happen with my job? And two, what's going to happen to the radio station I work at? So delicate times, and hopefully the next few months will give us and everybody some answers about those.
Yeah, so the CMA have now gone, all right, okay, you don't need to sell Wolverhampton, you don't need to sell any of that. So Bauer can keep everything that they bought, so it would seem. So this FRS issue is still there, but now it looks like the CMA has agreed with some of the people who responded to the consultation and said, actually, first radio sales wasn't just going to kind of disappear and not exist in a few years' time. It is there for the long run. Therefore, Bauer needs to offer these small radio stations the same deal that they would get or better, and they need to offer that kind of forever, an indefinite deal, rather than just a time-limited kind of five-year offer. So if Bauer presumably agree to that, which, you know, they're going to want to represent these stations, presumably they will, and then it'll all go ahead, and it'll be a waste of time the last 2 years.
Well, yeah, I've seen a few tweets saying that. It makes you wonder, though, if Bauer, when they went on the spending spree, if they'd have just kept the stations they sold to Nation, like Sam and Breeze on the South Coast and KCFM, if they'd have kept those, maybe they would have been okay as well?
Possibly.
To keep? Who knows?
Well, we're going to hear from somebody from Bauer very soon, not about this, but about Greatest Hits Radio, which, of course, some of these new acquisitions might be absorbed into the Greatest Hits Radio network. Andy Ashton, the Group PD, is going to be on to tell us about some changes and new presenters that they've got joining the station. Paul Gambaccini, Janice Long, Tony Dibbin, Boogie, Pat Sharp doing extra shows. And Alex Lester joining for overnights as well. So Andy's going to be on in a little while.
Fantastic. So Alex Lester started his overnight show this week.
He did.
Been seeing some of the reaction on Twitter.
What do they think?
Well, it's not good, is it? Because if you compare Alex's last show on Radio 2 to his first show on Greatest Hits, a little bit different, I'd say. Did you hear any of it?
I haven't heard any of it. I did see a tweet or two saying you're just playing music and non-stop tracks. But I think the first half of the show is kind of a music marathon where he's just kind of playing five in a row or whatever. And the kind of later couple of hours is a bit more chat.
So he's obviously pre-recording this because the days of staying up all night broadcasting on the radio are sadly getting behind us. There's probably only a few stations in the country that do. But what a change it would be if he did, if he was live all night. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be a good thing. Surely Barrow could afford to pay him a few more pennies and get him to stay up all night.
But I think they've said he's recording stuff on the day. Is that right?
He's recording stuff sort of daily. And I think looking at his tweets, he's asking for reaction and comments the night before. So maybe he's getting up early, at like 4, to record as live and putting some mentions and some reactions. I don't know. Maybe we should get in touch and ask him. Alex, if you're listening, come on, let us know how you're doing it.
So we'll hear from Andy Ashton about some of those changes and kind of the first year of the Greatest Hits brand in a little while on this podcast. Something else which we reported on radio today in the last week or so are some changes at INRIX. So the BBC are going to voice their own travel bulletins rather than having an INRIX broadcaster doing it. Again, this doesn't look good in terms of jobs. INRIX is still going to do all the data supply, which they do for a lot of BBC commercial community radio stations. So they're still the BBC's only supplier of travel news information. They're just not going to broadcast it, which again, you know, I started out at when I was at university, done a bit of radio, and I did AA Roadwatch for a few years, and it was a great way to not only get on the air doing regular stuff, but also make lots of contacts at different radio stations, because you'd have a little chat off the air down the ISDN line before you were doing your bulletin, and you'd kind of make friends at different stations. So that role of a broadcaster working in a travel centre doing lots of different stations, to lose that is quite a big deal.
Well, they're losing it for the Beeb. There are still a number of commercial stations that take voice reports. And
a lot of those have just dropped into playout systems and things, I think, aren't they? Rather than necessarily
being live.
But yeah,
I don't think any of them are live. But it's the INRIX model from around the world is to supply data, isn't it? I don't think they do it anywhere else for radio stations because they inherited the voiced bulletins theory when they bought TrafficLink, which was like, what, 10 years ago now?
So yeah, and TrafficLink before that was Metro Networks, which obviously used to do voiced bulletins back in the late 90s as well.
So maybe INRIX wanted to get rid of these. Maybe they initiated it and said, no, we're kind of just doing data from now on because it's obviously a lot cheaper to write something once and send it to 100 people than it is to have 50 people voicing travel bulletins. But yeah, interesting times. I always wanted to do travel news on the radio. I never did it. But
yeah, well, you're a bit of a geek like me. You've got this kind of obsession with roads and junctions and motorways and things. We love it, don't we?
Yeah, the geekness of roads and radio. I thought my perfect job is doing travel. And I went for an interview, actually, at either Metro or Traffic. I think it was Metro at the time, many years ago in Manchester. And I got the job, but they persuaded me not to take it because it was like a split shift. It was early morning, then you had to go home for a few hours. And then, because I was doing production work during the day, and then I had to go back at night. And it was the other side of Manchester, and I thought, it's probably not going to work out. Mm. So I think it was the hours that made it the reason I didn't do it, but would have loved to do it, maybe in the future.
I used to do a Saturday morning shift, like 5 till 1 or 5 till 2 or something, when I was at university in Leeds. So I worked at AA Roadwatch in Leeds. And one of my favourite memories probably at that time is we used to listen to Chris Moyles' Saturday show on Radio 1 in the office. So there was only a couple of us in. We'd be popping into the studio to do some bulletins, doing a few check calls, and we'd have Radio 1 on in the office. Listen to Moyles. This is about 1999, 2000. But there we go.
Was that allowed? Was that even allowed to listen to the radio?
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was fine. Hey, how annoying is this?
Plus additional sports channel, £18 extra a month for 18 months. Thereafter, standard price applies. Currently £22 a month. 31 days notice to cancel. Requires Sky TV. Further terms apply.
Offer available on selected cards. Enrollment required. Available in-store. Participating merchants only. Once per location up to £50.
Max 2 per customer. Selected stores excludes Express. Ends 31st of December.
Spend excludes delivery charge.
Fuel coupon valid for 14 days from issue. Exclusions and terms apply. Details in store and sainsbury's.co.uk/fuel. Not valid for pay at pump. Excludes centrals and locals.
Search 3.co.uk/business for further details.
Exclusions apply. Contracted and registered by 31st of December 2019 at participating dealers. Age and ownership criteria apply to scrappage vehicle. Subject to status. Free post Ford credit.
Car must be free of finance. Conditions apply. Representative APR 1.48%.
Intelligent Lending Limited is a credit broker. Capital One, the exclusive lender. Representative 39.9% APR variable. Borrow and spend responsibly.
Terms and conditions apply.
Remember, your house is at risk if you set fire to it. That was just a short selection of some of the terms and conditions broadcast on adverts on LBC. Quentin Howard posted a recording of 11 and a half minutes worth of that, if you can stand it to listen through, which was 24 hours worth of T's and C's. 12 minutes, essentially, of the day just broadcasting terms and conditions. What could they do with that airtime instead?
Well, there are plenty of sarcastic answers, but we won't go there. But yeah, an interesting one.
This has been going on a long time, haven't they? Radio Centre have been lobbying for this with the commercial radio groups to say, look, do we need all these really long, complicated T's and C's? On a TV ad or in a newspaper, it's just a little bit of text at the bottom of the screen or bottom of the paper.
Yeah, and the answer is no, we don't. So hopefully going forward, we can literally have conditions apply, see website for details. That's all you need, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well done to Radio Centre and Siobhan, especially for pushing that one through. Good time.
Yeah. Let's have a quick chat about Rajar. I thought it was quite interesting. You know, we get lost in this cycle of Rajar every 3 months and we get sick of it a bit of the time, don't we?
Hate Rajar.
It's obviously really important for a lot of reasons. And yeah, there we are. But yeah, it's the kind of the Wednesday night we dread, thinking, oh, this is going to be a long night analysing all this and writing it up for radio today. But I thought there were actually some interesting stories came out, not least in the quarter four 19 headlines. First 3 months on air for a load of new digital stations from Global. And they've got like 2 million listeners altogether.
Yeah. Heart 90s, I think we expected to be the biggest with 627,000 people. And 2.5 million hours as well. Heart Dance, yeah, 380. It's probably about right. They probably maybe wanted a bit more for that, but it is a specialist, even more specialist than a decade, of course. And Heart 70s. 70s, not necessarily a heart decade, so to get 250,000 is fantastic for that, and I'm sure that will only grow. And the other one, Smooth Country, Smooth Chill, and Extra Reloaded, all doing really well. As you said, totals like 2 million extra listeners.
Yeah, and I think the Heart and Capital brands overall, well, Capital went down overall, Heart was fairly constant, but that was 70s, 90s and dance adding to the reach, because it was, you know what, best part of, well, over a million extra reach, really, for those three Heart stations. But overall, the brand stayed about the same. So I think you looked at some of the local figures and Heart and Capital stations are kind of dropping a little bit. Whether that's the effect of Network Breakfast or something else, we're not quite sure.
Yeah, Heart down a little bit, but, you know, it'll be back up again and then it'll go down again and then it'll be up again. So they're all keeping roughly right. And then when all the new stations bed in, I'm sure it'll be a worthwhile investment having all the extra stations.
Yeah, and a lot of the speech stations did very well. Five Live, Radio 4, LBC, Talk Radio and their breakfast shows kind of benefiting from the election effect in the run-up to Christmas. obviously, quarter four, yeah, careful let me say that. Quarter four next year will probably drop as a result, because there probably won't be, well, you never know, there might be an election or a referendum or something, but there probably won't be. So it was a bit of a kind of blip for those stations in a kind of quarter four high performance. I think the interesting story as well on the digital stuff, we talked about all the Global spin-offs. Obviously, most of those are on D1, and then you've got Scala, which is on D2 on SDL. You've got Country Hits from Bauer as well, which is on a kind of selection of multiplexes. Both of those have been going since March, so kind of three quarters in, and you compare them with the audiences, you know, and they're about the same as what Heart 70s has got in 3 months.
Yeah, there's not that much difference really in numbers between D1 and D2, but there are a large part of the mainland which doesn't get it. So, yeah, I'm sure it is down to platform more than programming, because they're all good listens.
Yeah, Magic down a little bit. Kiss on its downward trend. That got saved a bit on the total brand reach by Kistery, which is obviously still having a bit of a flyer. And a mention for Virgin Radio, up another 8% quarter on quarter, with Anthems and Chilled thrown in. They're now at 1.76 million. And Chris Evans has the most listened to breakfast show on digital radio across commercial radio and the BBC, the biggest digital-only breakfast show, 1.2 million listeners a week. But it's Chris Evans, and that's what you expect, really, isn't it?
Well, based on our previous comments, Virgin surely should be looking at going on to D1, maybe get a few more listeners that way.
Yeah, but I think Wireless is a shareholder in SDL, isn't it? So it's probably going to get whether it gets a better deal on that multiplex. I don't know whether they do or not, but
yeah, no, but a bit of money versus reaching more listeners.
Very true.
I'd pay.
Yeah, very true. Well, obviously, Times Radio is going to be launching at some point in the next few months as well. We're hearing lots of rumours about the work going on behind the scenes to poach people from the BBC. So watch this space. A lot of producers and technical people and presenters could be heading for Times Radio. They're obviously looking to make a bit of a splash with that. So again, we'll follow that one.
Have we got a launch date for that yet?
No, not yet. Not yet, actually. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll keep an eye out for that. And of course, if you didn't hear it a couple of weeks ago, Stig Abel and Liam Fisher from Wireless were on talking about Times Radio. It was a really interesting listen, that. So go back and find that one. A few other things to talk about this week, Roy. Tell me what's going in Oxford. They had this Ofcom consultation, and Ofcom have said, yes, you can change it. So instead of being a youth station, it's going to be an oldies station.
Yeah, as we've talked about before and written about on the website many times, there's more money in oldies, more than youngies, if that's even a word. So Jack 2, which plays the hits, used to be the youth station for Oxford. On the face of it, it's basically swapping places with Jack 3. So Jack 3, the easy listening station for the over 50s, think smooth. That's going on 107.9 FM in Oxford. And Jack 2 is going on DAB. So if you think of all the legal documents that Ofcom have revealed, then it's a format change and a name change. But in reality, it's literally just swapping a couple of plugs around their brand new sparkly headquarters in Oxford. So good luck with the move. I don't think we've got a date for that either. Should be sometime soon, though.
A lot of personal moves that we've reported on over the last couple of weeks as well. Sam Jackson has now left Global. He was running Smooth and Classic FM. He's going to be the Executive Vice President at Global Classics and Jazz at Universal. Sean Dunderdale has announced he's leaving Lynx FM. He's been the director of broadcasting for the group. He's going to go and present the breakfast show on BBC Radio Lincolnshire from 9th of March. Good gig for him. Duncan Levin is leaving Radio Clyde at the end of this week. 26 years he's been there. Content controller for Greatest Hits Radio in Scotland recently. There's some changes at 5 Live coming up. Dotton Adebayo is going to move from weekend overnights to weekday overnights when Rod Sharp leaves at the start of April. And Louise Cooper and Mickey Clark, who are kind of the markets analysts, kind of co-presenters on Wake Up to Money, they're going to be leaving at the end of this month as part of the cost savings that the BBC has announced a few weeks ago. Wake Up to Money will extend by 15 minutes from April to start at 5 o'clock when Morning Reports finishes.
It's all happening, isn't it? It's a busy one. How long have we been here now? We've been here like 20 minutes, have we?
I know, we should probably shut
we need
up.
To get on with the show.
All the winners from the Gillards, let's squeeze this in. That was in Sheffield last week. They're at radiotoday.co.uk. 4 for Radio Manchester, 4 golds, including Station of the Year. And Three Counties Radio did quite well as well. More awards coming soon. It's less than a month to go now until we'll be at the London Palladium for the ARIAs. See, I'm learning how to say it posh.
ARIAs. Well done.
All the nominations, of course, at radiotoday.co.uk. And Radio Days Europe tickets still on sale. It's happening at the end of March in Lisbon. We will be there and we'll be recording a special roundtable edition of the Radio Today programme that Trevor Dan will be hosting live on stage at the Radio Days Europe Festival as well.
Do, 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 do. What does that mean, Stu? What does that mean?
I don't know. What does that mean?
It's the Back to the Future theme tune.
Oh.
Which means I'm going to see you next week.
No, not again. It must be at least 2 weeks since I've seen you. We must stop exactly, meeting right? like this. So we're going to the theatre, going to a bit of culture, because I know how you love a good musical.
I hate musicals. But I'm going to make an exception for the Back to the Future opening night in Manchester next week.
Excellent. I will see you there. And, well, I might see you before that, actually. I might see you twice in 1 week.
Oh, my goodness, we are. We're in London next week as well, aren't we? Oh, Joy, should we record in person next week? I think
let's
we should.
Let's do it. Let's do it together in London next week. Yeah. And hopefully next week as well, we've got booked in a trip to see very controversial figure, Kelvin McKenzie. You might have seen his blog on Radio Today this week. Some fairly strong opinions. We're hopefully going to go and see him at Love Sport in London next week, and he'll be on this podcast. So look out for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. So one of the big stories of the week is some changes coming up at Greatest Hits Radio, with a load of new presenters joining the weekend schedule. We can find out more about them from Greatest Hits Radio's programme director. It's Andy Ashton. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Stuart. Thanks for inviting me on. Delighted to be here to talk about Greatest Hits Radio.
And very exciting. Some big names coming to the weekends from this weekend. Tell us who you've got and when they're going to be on.
Yeah, so it's pretty unprecedented, I think, sort of, big announcement. Lots of people. It's been sort of 6 months in the making. And sort of when you're in it and putting it all together, you kind of almost don't want to think about the time where you have to launch it and it all happens. But it's been a real delight, actually, to get the news out there yesterday, Monday. And thanks to yourselves as well for supporting that message. But yeah, we're delighted to announce that Paul Gambaccini is joining us for a Saturday afternoon, bringing back America's Greatest Hits. So that's going to start at 5 p.m. every Saturday for 2 hours. And yeah, just absolute pleasure to be working with Paul and catching up with him over the last 6 months and planning this. You know, he's just such a pro. And it's great to be able to sit down and talk to someone who's just got so much knowledge and history with the music. And you just get that sense every time you talk to him of what this show is going to be and that passion and experience he's going to bring. And I just think it's going to be a standout moment in UK radio, actually. And Janice Long joining us, and will be before Paul, so broadcasting from 1 p.m. on a Saturday from our studios in Liverpool, which is great because obviously that's where Janice comes from. And so she'll be broadcasting from her home village, as we like to call Liverpool. Pretty much, I suppose, playing the greatest hits, but really playing songs that she discovered that we now call greatest hits, you know. So again, just that huge heritage that she has with quality music, and that's what we're all about. So we're delighted to welcome Janice. And Tony Dibbin joining us for Weekend Breakfast, which is going to be a great start to the weekend for us. And we know a lot of people who love the greatest hits have a real love for Tony and where he's been before, and it's just, and we're getting a great reaction to him joining the network. And Pat Sharp, we're going to have a bit more Pat Sharp on a Sunday morning, as well as doing the legendary Top 10 at 10 on a Saturday morning. So, you know, it's a really, really big sort of upgrade to our weekend. We've got some more news coming towards the weekend of Lates across the weekend as well, because we've got Andrew Booglas joining us for Boogie Nights, which is going to be a show 10 p.m. on a Saturday. And that sort of adds to some new programming we've introduced over the last sort of 3 months, where we've got Des Paul doing a show called Rhythm of the Night on a Friday night at 10. And also Arlene, who is Boogie's co-presenter, of course, at Fourth One, who does Sunday nights for us from 7. So we've already got somewhat of a new block of programming in the evening on the weekends, but obviously these other appointments make it pretty much a whole new weekend alongside the programmes that we've developed over the last year that we've been here, and people have sort of grown to know and love.
And I suppose, obviously, as well as fantastic broadcasters, they bring a name and some audience with them. So it's a kind of marketing spend having big names on a radio station like this as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's true. But I think, you know, it's about the quality of those radio presenters. And also it's at the core of what Greatest Hits Radio is. So obviously we're quite a contemporary take on the gold format. You know, it's a big update on that Greatest Hits Radio and what we're trying to achieve. You know, it's all about the energy and the pace. And it has that element of nostalgia. And we know from the research we've done right across the country that people are really reassured by having those voices that they grew up with that were part of their formative years. There's a credibility to that. But these people are still at the very top of their game, you know, and it's just brilliant to be able to provide a platform for those people to reach their natural audience, you know. And obviously, Paul reaches a tremendous amount of people on a Saturday lunchtime on radio too. But it's great to be able to give him more airtime nationally, you know, to reach even more people, because, you know, he's an absolute legend. And there's a reason for that. You know, he's incredible at what he does. And, you know, that's really important. And also their connection to the music, because we are ultimately all about the music, you know, and the good times and how music connects people to that. So it's nostalgia, but it's not something that makes you feel old. You know, it's celebratory. And we do that with real pace and passion. And these guys just fit that brief perfectly.
Yeah, and obviously we had some Ray Jars last week. I think it looked quite good across the board, quarter on quarter, for greatest hits. I mean, still a little way to go in terms of the change from when you rebranded a lot of the stations that didn't used to be called greatest hits. But the movement seems upward, which you must be pleased with.
Yeah, really pleased. You know, it's great to see forward progression. Look, we're a year old. You know, we started from scratch with something brand new that was completely different to what was there before, in name at least. You know, and so when you're sort of giving up those sort of halo brand names in markets, you know, it's always going to be tough. But I think, you know, to be 12 months down the line and up above, you know, in total where we were before, I think is a really good achievement. And we want to see that accelerate. And obviously, we've got lots of plans around marketing and, you know, what we're doing now in terms of just generally improving the product. But yeah, I think obviously there's some challenging bits within it all. The sort of AM services that we rebranded are more tricky in terms of getting people to be aware of what's happened and what's gone on, where we can see sort of growth coming back much faster in the FM markets where we exist. So where we've, you know, rebranded something that had such massive heritage like Radio City 2, or even taking over the FM frequency in the West Midlands from Absolute Radio. You know, these are big, well-established things. But because we've got that big FM footprint, you know, we're able to sort of turn that perception quicker than possibly the AM markets, where that's a little bit more challenging. And really what we're finding, I think, is that people like the product, and when they find it, they stick with it, you know. So we can see where, even when in markets where we're making very small sort of reach gains, we're really adding the hours, you know. So people who find it stick with it, and I think the job for us now is to make people more aware of the radio station and where they can find it. And I think once those people come in, they'll stick with it, you know. And I think, you know, obviously part of these appointments, you know, strategically, I suppose Radio 2 is, you know, going younger, undoubtedly, unashamedly, focusing on mums. And, you know, even the sort of BBC local services seem to be following suit and following a very similar strategy. So we think there's a huge opportunity for us there. And if we can get those, you know, the older end of that BBC audience to come across to sample us, we think we've got a very good chance of them sticking with us.
Couple of geeky questions for you, because I know our audience will want to know some of these details, but obviously
no problem.
You've got presenters in lots of different places. So I think you've got two studios in London that you use. You've got Manchester, Liverpool, Birmingham. You're gonna have, as I say, Boogie coming from Scotland. How does that work logistically in terms of having people scattered all over the place, not only for you as their boss kind of having to oversee them, but just in terms of it feeling like a one network?
Yeah, actually, I suppose when you look at it from the outside, it does look sort of fairly complex. In reality, it's just really part of working for a big, well-resourced group. You know, we have the opportunity to use these studios. It really is as easy as flicking a switch. Everything exists in every location for everybody. So the real challenge actually is communication. It's not a technical challenge at all. We actually only have one studio in London. We don't use the Golden Square facility because
so
there's just literally no room. Yeah, so we've built a purpose, you know, actually sort of created from scratch a purpose-built studio for Greatest Hits in Camden. And that's working beautifully for us. And obviously with appointing people like Paul, it makes it really easy for him, you know, to skip across town, not least because he's on air live with us only a few hours after finishing on Radio 2. So it's technically it's not really challenging at all. But communication-wise, and for me personally, being able to be with the people, you know, so I spend pretty much my life on the road, travelling between sites so that I can get in front of these guys and, you know, drive the ambition of what we're trying to do and keep them in touch with everything that's going on, you know, and particularly when you've got a lot of messaging happening all at once, like we've had this week, you know, that can get pretty hectic. But I have to say, it's pretty exciting as well, so don't feel too sorry for me.
And you mentioned Paul's obviously going to be live from Camden on a Saturday tea time. When you're programming a station like Greatest Hits, I suppose you've got the kind of balance between live and pre-recorded or voice track programs. Listeners want to interact with some of these big names that you're signing, but they might not always want to be on live at the time that you want them on live. So it's getting the balance right, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes you just have to work with the situation, you know. So our default position is we'd like everybody to be live all the time, but that's not always possible, you know. So again, technology wise we have the ability to create programs in advance that, you know, these days you'd struggle sometimes to notice that they're not live programs, but it does affect that interaction, you know, and so that can you can work around that, and we do have some really quite well developed ways of doing that. But yeah, ideally people are live, but you know, you just have to work with those individuals and sort of, I guess, make your decision based on, you know, if we're going to do some pre-recorded programming, is it still, you know, an advantage to the brand to do so, you know. So I mean, in terms of Janice, you know, that's a show that will be live, but there will be undoubtedly times where she can't do that live and we need to pre-record, just for reasons that these guys are also working for other networks as well, you know, which is something we don't mind. We actually see that as a benefit to what we're trying to do strategically. But yeah, you just have to take each situation as it comes and make decisions based on that. And you know, sometimes it's going to be worth it, sometimes it isn't, but ideally you do as much live programming as you can, and that's certainly our focus and ambition.
And a great reaction from the industry to Alex Lester being back on overnights as well. I know he started already this week.
Yeah, I'm a little bit tired actually, because I stayed up and listened to some of that last night for his first run. That's going to develop, you know, over time. And, you know, it's just fantastic to see these communities of listeners who, you know, obviously we suspected that Alex would be a really popular choice to bring to the network. And I think it's really important that we have that kind of programming overnight. I mean, we can see from our digital listening in particular, there's a lot of people enjoying the greatest hits through the night. You know, there's obviously a big culture in this country of people working overnight, particularly in the sort of demographics that we're serving. And I think this is a great thing for those audiences and those communities, and the reaction has sort of backed that up. So yeah, we're delighted to have Alex on, and he's gonna, well, you know what he's like. He's going to develop a whole new world of buffoons, basically. So it's gonna be really good fun, and I can't wait to see how that develops. And I think musically as well, I think it's going to be interesting. I think we have the opportunity to sort of push the boat out and really come up with some nice surprises for people. So it'd be interesting to see how he grows that audience and turns them into a family, which is, you know, undoubtedly what he'll do.
Well, thank you for talking to us, Andy. We wish you lots of success with it. We'll look out for more announcements soon, and let's keep those red jars in the upward direction. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Please God, yeah, please God. And thanks for having us on. I appreciate it. It's Stuart.
That's Andy Ashton from Greatest Hits Radio here on the Radio Today programme. David Lloyd's Radio Moments still to come. But first, let's just take a moment to help you out with a tech solution that may be just what you've been looking for to help with an OB or getting that new podcast idea up and running. CleanFeed has radio and podcasts in mind, and it will let you connect in decent quality just using a browser on a computer at either end. No fancy hardware required. It's really simple to use, and you can even do the recording of your podcast guests right within the browser. Give it a go. See what the quality is like for yourself. There is a completely free version, or you can upgrade to a paid version for some extra features. Find out more at cleanfeed.net.
Radio Moments.
With all this palaver about new talk stations, let's remember it's now a quarter of a century since this national launch on an AM frequency borrowed from the BBC.
London calling. This is London calling. Attention. Please stand by for an important announcement for all listeners to this frequency. Regrettably, and as a result of rather hasty legislation, the British Broadcasting Corporation is relinquishing this frequency to be used by a new commercial radio company. Talk Radio, UK. Starting from Tuesday the 14th of February, Talk Radio, UK, commences its service of frank and explicit chitter-chatter, entertainment, and other unpleasantness.
I used to listen to Robbie Vincent and Mike Allen. And they were Robbie Vincent and Mike Allen.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know Mike Allen. I think Mike Allen's brilliant. The other guy, well, I've got no comment to make. Do you know what? He phoned me up and he said, don't give up your day job.
Really?
That's what Robbie Vincent said about me.
That's unfair.
Can you believe somebody that I've admired all these years, who I've praised highly because of his broadcasting ability, because of his knowledge of soul music, and here is a man who I've praised all my life live on a radio station, and he's turned around and insulted me.
Caesar the Geezer, one of the infamous early names on Talk Radio UK, which launched this week in 1995, the last of just three national commercial radio stations to go on air. That's all we had back then. That licence is now Talk Sport. Meanwhile, LBC is now also fully national after a dalliance with regional DAB multiplexers, and that change happened this week 6 years ago.
Hello, I'm Nick Ferrari. Thanks for listening to LBC. Tomorrow, we'll be switching from this digital channel to the National Digital One platform. Don't worry, nothing else is changing, but you will need to take a few seconds to press the retune button on your digital radio to receive us. Now leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
6 years of LBC UK. It now has a record 5% reach. Valentine's Day has been a popular day for station launches.
Well, at last it's here. The station you've been waiting for, playing the music from the last six decades and today across the Great East Midlands. This is Saga 106.6 FM.
Good morning. Welcome to BBC Hereford and Worcester, a brand new radio station from the heart of the county.
This is BBC Radio Brighton.
Radio Brighton in 86, BBC Hereford and Worcester in 89, and Saga East Midlands launching in 2003. But that Valentine's Day trend goes back a long way. 98 years ago, 2MT launched that day in Essex. It was the first British radio station to make regular entertainment broadcasts. Came from an old army hut next to the Marconi Lab at Rittle near Chelmsford.
Hello, CQ. Hello, CQ. This is 2MATOC. 2MATOC. This is 2MATOC calling. Is that all right, Ash? Kirk, is it all right? What? I'm blasting. Hello, CQ. I'm blasting. You want a blast? I blast a whole lot. But, how are you tonight? I'm afraid, there's a bit of rather serious things have happened this evening. We did expect to get some rather famous singer, but, she failed. Singers fail, you know. They do. And we've got tonight a number of gramophone records, as usual. But anyway, I think we'll be getting ready to begin now. And the first thing I've got to introduce is a record entitled... By the way, why are all records entitled? Why aren't they called something? A record entitled, Because God Made Thee Mine.
The voice there of the rather mischievous Peter Eckersley, who was funnier than some Radio 4 comedy right now. He went on to become the BBC's first chief engineer, but he fell out with John Reith, as many people did. Happy 98th birthday to UK Entertainment Radio as we approach all those landmark 100-year anniversaries. Actually, I'm giving a talk on the story of radio in Hampstead at Berg House on the 4th of March. And there's a link to get your ticket. It'd be lovely to see you there at my website at radiomoments.com. Had Cheery Peter, though, been a few generations younger, he might have been on this station.
For the first time across Yorkshire and the East Coast, a radio station that's fresh, young and truly innovative.
Kiss 105.
Ready or not, here I'm talking.
Daytime, the hottest tunes on the street. Evenings and weekends, a musical journey from rap to house, reggae to hardcore.
If you're going to start a Kiss, you'd do it on Valentine's Day, and it happened in Yorkshire in 1997, one of the two stations back then to license the Kiss brand, much loved too. It became the huge Galaxy and is now part of Capital. In the 1960s, pirate stations were at sea on ships, but also in the forts left behind from wartime, those sort of spidery things sticking out the sea. Were those forts within territorial waters, though, and thus within the law, or were they just outside? This week in 1967, offshore Radio City closed when the government concluded that the Shivering Sands forts were in British waters.
Clarkie, you want to say goodbye on behalf of the 5x4, Mother, do you?
Have you explained why we're saying goodbye, you know?
Well, we haven't said it yet, then.
No.
We haven't had the news service yet.
No.
Oh, dear, it's up to me, then, is it?
Yeah, to make the big announcement.
It always happens to me, doesn't it? This happened back in June, and all that sort of thing, you know. Anyway, the grim news just received, apparently, is that we have been found to be illegal. This is ridiculous, of course, because, as we all know, there are about 300 stations in Europe which are on the same footing and are basically illegal, including Vatican Radio and the whole bit, you know. But to get to the point, we have to go off the air tonight for the last time at midnight, because this is the way the court has swung the decision in Southend, and therefore Radio City is kaput. No more finita. What can we say without getting into a mass of sentiment and rubbish, you know, which I hate doing anyway, because it's sort of very false. Of course, we are very sorry about this, but what can we do?
The end of Pirate Radio City.
For me, Tom, it was for the very last time on Radio City. It's a very good night to you, ladies and gentlemen. God bless, and thank you for being a marvellous audience. Good night, and goodbye.
Back home, by the way, the rather newer Radio City in Liverpool got its FM frequency this week in 1975. It had launched on AM only. So, with Simon Mayo announcing his Radio 1 breakfast successor 23 years ago...
It's 11 minutes past 8, 97 to 99 FM, Radio 1.
Andy Cook and Louise Stone saying a signal farewell 3 years ago...
From the bottom of my heart, I have enjoyed every second...
The death of Radio 3's Patricia Hughes 6 years ago...
And then you'd be woken up in the next morning to open up the network for the 7 o'clock news, which you would be reading yourself.
CNFM in Cambridge and Newmarket launching 31 years ago. And Group Programme Director Keith Pringle with Andy Mack announcing their departure from Chrysalis Radio to start the Chrysalis-backed Ride the Tiger 20 years ago, which maybe was Spotify. Alas, too far ahead of its time. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and to Roy Martin, and to our guest this week, Andy Ashton from Greatest Hits Radio. Next time on the Radio Today programme, we'll be in London, and hopefully, all being well, speaking to Kelvin McKenzie. He of Talk Sport fame and the original Wireless Group, now running Love Sport Radio, and he's got some fairly outspoken views on the future of the industry, and in particular, national commercial radio licenses. Find out what he has to say on the Radio Today programme next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.